In a game that was defined by physical play, overall competitive nature, as well as a defensive struggle at times, the Memphis Grizzlies prevail over the Golden State Warriors. And while Ja Morant's performance was absolutely historic once again, the Grizzlies' defense setting the tone early was just as important. With the Grizzlies tying this series 1-1, as we now shift the series back to the Bay Area. Relooking at Game 2, Ja's historic performance and some adjustments the Grizzlies still need to make to continue to prevail in this series. That and much more on this edition of Locked On Grizzlies. Here we go.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome one and all to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. Hope wherever you are and wherever you are listening, you're having an outstanding start to your Wednesday. Always a pleasure to be with you, especially after a Grizzlies playoff victory. Of course, you can find myself at StatsSAC. My co-host, DeMichael Cole, at DeMichael C. DeMichael will be back with us later on this week. You can find the podcast for free on all podcast platforms. Find us for free here on YouTube. Hit that subscribe button below. And, of course, we want to let you know that we are Locked On Grizzlies, your Grizzlies every day when it comes to the Memphis Grizzlies. And, of course, the thing that stands out about the Grizzlies is their resiliency. Anytime that this team experiences some type of adversity, and they've done it now for multiple years, they experience some type of adversity, they experience some type of doubt, they experience some type of struggle, they typically turn around and immediately have success following that due to adjustments, due to rising to the occasion, due to knowing that in the playoffs, you've got to be able to answer the call when the other team has punched first. And that's exactly what the Grizzlies were able to do. But it wasn't without some controversy early on in the game. Obviously, coming off game one, in which Draymond Green, you know, though the Warriors won, the biggest takeaway for a lot of folks from game one was, of course, the flagrant two on Draymond Green that resulted in him being ejected from the game. Now, as I mentioned, I feel like that the flagrant two certainly was warranted. It wasn't the most egregious flagrant two foul call we've ever seen, but it was warranted due to the definition of the rule. Well, unfortunately, in game two, the physical play continued to play on. As early in the game, when Gary Payton Jr. was going for a layup, Dylan Brooks made a hard, hard foul on Gary Payton Jr. Now, the end result of that is now Gary Payton Jr. reportedly breaking his elbow and likely being out for the playoffs. I don't feel that Dylan Brooks in any way, shape, or form was attempting to injure Gary Payton Jr. But at the end of the day, the play that Dylan Brooks made, in my opinion, and I think in the opinion of many, I understand physical play in the playoffs. I don't necessarily think you go that far. It definitely was a hard foul. Obviously, with the tone that had been set early in game one, physical play being a big part of this series, the refs saw it that way as well, and Dylan Brooks was ejected. Of course, that was not the only occurrence that occurred early in the game, an elbow, and I think it was more inadvertent than anything. An elbow from Xavier Tillman to Draymond Green led to Draymond Green giving his thoughts non-verbally of what he thought of the Memphis crowd. So point is that early on in this game, there was controversy, there was physical play, there was a tone set by the Grizzlies that this was going to be a hard-fought series for the Warriors and for the Grizzlies themselves. And though there certainly was things involved that you just straightforward don't want to see involved, the tone was set early. So beyond all that, it felt like one of those games in the Timberwolves series where obviously this was a different setup, but it felt like one of the games in the Timberwolves series where you were getting a lot of calls that were slowing the pace of the play, just like the Grizzlies were able to do in game two of the series against Minnesota, where there were so many foul calls early in the first game, early in the first quarter of game two against the Timberwolves. The Grizzlies in game two against the Warriors, they were able to find their groove after a slow start for both teams. And so the Grizzlies were up 33-25 at the end of the first quarter. Well, then it became a game of waves in the second quarter, and the Warriors were able to come back. The Grizzlies got back ahead, and the Grizzlies wound up with a 5-point lead at halftime. And what defined the first half for the Grizzlies was not only Ja Morant, who had, I believe, 21 points at the end of the first half, 23 perhaps, 21 or 23 points at the end of the first half. It was also the defensive tone set. Even though Dillon Brooks was not available to be used in the game, the Grizzlies' defense was able to step up and stand out against the Warriors. And that continued into parts of the third quarter. Now, obviously, the Grizzlies overall, they struggled pretty mightily. Only 21 points in the third quarter for the Grizzlies. They were not able to find their shot. The Warriors made some good defensive adjustments, but the Grizzlies kept the game close. And at the end of the third quarter, it was 77-77. And that's when Ja Morant took over. 18 points in the fourth quarter. The Warriors were able to keep pace for a while, but Ja Morant's continued ability to put pressure on the rim, plus hitting the occasional outside shot just to provide balance, it allowed for the Grizzlies to get the 106-101 victory. Ja Morant, 47 points, 8 assists, 8 rebounds. We'll get into his historic performance in just a moment. But another big key to this victory for the Grizzlies, there's actually a couple of things that stand out. Number one was, once again, depth making a difference on both sides of the court. On a day where the Grizzlies had three players, Tyus Jones, De'Anthony Melton, Brandon Clark, all earned votes in the sixth man of the year voting, it was the depth of the Grizzlies that stood out to make just enough of a difference to support Ja in getting this victory. And it's not just offensively. Zaire Williams, 4 threes, 14 points. Zaire has now become the first Grizzlies rookie to have 7 or more threes in a single playoff run in franchise history. That's how little in franchise history rookies have played for the Grizzlies. But yet, Zaire Williams was a true difference maker last night. 14 points, 4 threes on the offensive end, doing a very good job switching between different Warriors players, but especially guarding Steph Curry in that second half. De'Anthony Melton's defense also showed up in the absence of Dillon Brooks. Brandon Clark was able to make a difference. Zaire Williams, though he started in a role player setup, he was able to make some big plays. Xavier Tillman was able to make some big plays. Even though he was a starter in a role player setup, he was able to make some big plays to help the Grizzlies have just enough to beat the Warriors. But to me, even more important than Ja's performance, the depth stepping up for the Grizzlies, was the Grizzlies' defense. The Memphis Grizzlies held the Golden State Warriors to their lowest three-point percentage in a single playoff game in Warriors franchise history, in games in which they attempted 25 or more threes. That's correct. The Warriors, in 124 of their playoff games, have attempted 25 or more threes. The Grizzlies last night held them to their lowest three-point percentage in those games. 7 of 38 from the field. The Grizzlies have done an outstanding job of making the Warriors not get clean looks, work for their three-point shots, rush their three-point shots. They've done a very good job over the first two games preventing the Warriors from consistently getting the looks that they want, and it made all the difference in the world last night. But there are so many different factors that certainly contributed to the Grizzlies' victory, and trust me, for the rest of this week before Saturday's Game 3, we'll have plenty of time to get into it. But make no mistake, the biggest difference of all was Ja Morant, who once again proves that he is one of the game's best when it comes to performing on the biggest stages. We'll discuss that in just a moment. Before we do, I want to talk with you a bit about Built Bar. Listen, the Grizzlies are a team that continues to show it's great to have different options to utilize in different setups when it comes to playing the game of basketball. But if you want to utilize different taste options when it comes to the benefit of Built Bar on your day, you can do exactly that. Have it in the morning for breakfast, in the afternoon as a snack. But when it comes to Built Bar, you can choose from over 18 different flavors to make your day better. Whether you want to have it, like I said, in the morning or afternoon, whether you want to have it at lunch for your lunch, it's a healthy alternative that tastes great and makes your day better. If you go to Built.com right now, you put in the promo code LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your next order of Built Bar. Make sure you enjoy Built Bar today. Want to remind you, obviously, that while the NBA playoffs are currently going on, also want to remind you that Locked On NBA Big Board, the NBA Draft special podcast when it comes to the Locked On Podcast Network. Obviously, the NBA playoffs are going on, but we're still now in the month where the NBA lottery will go on as well. While many teams are trying to make the most of their franchise success now, plenty of other NBA teams have plenty of to focus on when it comes to the future. Make sure you check out the Locked On NBA Big Board as your second listen of the day after Locked On Grizzlies. So Ja Morant, absolutely spectacular once again last night. 47 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists. And I'll tell you this, it's not just that Ja is continuing to show that he is a talent who emerges on the biggest stages that the Grizzlies have never had. The Grizzlies now have had 21 times in franchise history a player has scored 40-plus points in a game. 21 times in the entire history of the franchise. Ja has 9 of those 21 times. Ja Morant now holds 6 of the 8 highest single-game point total, individual point totals in franchise history, including 52 points from earlier this year and 247-point performances now in the playoffs, one of which was a victory. But the overall significance of just how special Ja Morant is isn't what he's doing compared to others in franchise history. We've known for a while now he's a talent that this franchise has never had. He continues to establish that game in and game out. But the significance of Ja Morant now is reaching levels that few others in NBA history have done. The only players in NBA playoff history to have multiple 45-plus point games before the age of 23, Ja Morant, LeBron James, and Kobe Bryant. Now, I want it to be understood. I'm not saying that Ja Morant is on the level of those players. But when you start to talk about these players who early on in their career show that they can be the alpha, show the superstardom that everybody knows that they have, that type of talent, it shines on the biggest stages. Those players, there's no moment that's too big for them. They thrive in the moment. They look to be the focal point when they know their team needs it the most in the most important games of the season. Those type of players, it's hard to deny that Ja is getting to that level at his age. His overall scoring output is absolutely incredible. But the big thing about it is this. 34 points in game one, 47 points in game two. That's great now. Overall, 81 points so far in this series. But we just witnessed a series last round where Ja was not at 100%. More than likely. Ja was facing a team that defended him very well. And what did Ja do? He adapted by becoming a distributor to set his teammates up. Though it's a small sample size, numbers suggest that several of Ja's teammates are playing significantly better when he's on the court versus when he's off. You could argue it's his gravity. The defenses have to respect what Ja can do to get into the lane and to the rim, so they're focusing on that. Ja's easily able to set up his teammates for success. That could be a part of it, but Ja's overall playmaking truly made a difference for the Grizzlies' offense against the Timberwolves. So it's not just that Ja is separating himself from the rest of the Grizzlies' franchise when it comes to his scoring ability. And it's not just that he's showing an ability to score at a level few others his age have done in playoff history, but we now are seeing that Ja is helping the Grizzlies win playoff games on multiple stages of the playoffs in different ways. In the first series, it was his passing and scoring. Now, it's being able to take over a game with his scoring against one of the best overall cores in NBA history. I'm not saying that what we're seeing from Ja is something that we've not seen before. I am saying it's very rare to see what Ja is doing on such a big stage. And the Grizzlies absolutely need it right now. The Grizzlies absolutely need every bit of Ja's performance right now. Obviously, Dylan Brooks being out with the ejection, what likely is going to be a suspension. Desmond Bane, unfortunately, right now, he certainly is injured. You hope that 3 days of rest will be able to get him going, make him back to being himself, which would be a huge boost to the Grizzlies. Jaren Jackson Jr., he stepped up early in the game, but overall struggled, fouled out last night, 3 of 14 from the field. The Grizzlies right now just don't have a lot of offensive options that they can rely on due to injuries not being available or struggles. I would imagine Jaren Jackson Jr. does reemerge as being a true offensive piece that the Warriors have to contend with as this series goes along. But the point is that Ja Morant took the Grizzlies on his back and he would not be denied. And it was absolutely special to see. And one other thing that stands out as well. Though Ja Morant overall has struggled so far in these playoffs when it comes to making, you know, shots from the field, in game two, he didn't struggle. 15 of 31 from the field. 5 threes. I believe he had 4 in game one. So the whole thing about the Warriors guarding the paint, preventing the Grizzlies from being able to beat them in the paint, and the numbers show it. The Warriors right now are beating the Grizzlies at their own game in terms of the Warriors being the team that's winning the paint battle. Ja Morant, make no mistake about it, he absolutely is making them pay from three. 5 threes last night to support his 47 points. I believe, again, he had 4 threes in game one to support his 34 points. Go back to the play-in game. Ja, I believe, had 5 threes in that game for 35 points to make the Warriors pay. So the Warriors are going to live and die with Ja Morant and the Grizzlies overall being able to shoot the three. And the Grizzlies shooting 45 threes last night may not have been ideal for the whole team. But make no mistake about it, Ja Morant is fully competent and actually, I feel, welcomes the challenge of the Warriors saying, we're not going to let you beat us in the paint. Though Ja had some success last night, we're going to make you use the balanced approach to beat us. Well, Ja is burning them so far in this series. So I know that this is nothing new for Grizzlies fans. I know that we are starting to make it seem like it's, you know, just common occurrence for Ja to take over a fourth quarter. Ja to take over, you know, being the best player on the court. Ja being able to show just how much of a scoring prowess he has. Yes, we're all used to that. But I just want to shine a spotlight on how rare it is to see a player of Ja's age take over games. And he's done it in multiple ways so far this play in these playoffs, and especially when he's taken over games by doing the thing that the other team wants him to do, which is shooting the three to balance out, getting into the paint. Again, this isn't something we haven't seen before. This isn't something that is unprecedented, but it certainly is historic. Because it's rare to see a player so young not only show that he can dominate games to the level Ja dominates them in multiple ways through his passing and his scoring, but also to show the evolution of his game overall. For a player who much of the storyline for the season was how awesome he was scoring in the paint, you can see the evolution in Ja's game that when he needs to balance out his offense on a bigger stage, when it's required from the opposing team, they're not going to let him beat him in the paint. He's going to have to be able to shoot the three. Ja absolutely has delivered. And thankfully, he was able to deliver a game two victory to even this series. But while there's plenty of positives to certainly continue to build on for the Grizzlies, and they now have a bit of time to make some adjustments will need to be made as the Grizzlies head back to the Bay Area. We'll discuss that in just a moment. The other thing, though, that I want to tell you before we get into these adjustments that need to be made is that Locked On Grizzlies is going to be your best place for all the breakdowns from the first two series overall. What are the numbers suggesting so far in these playoffs? What are some thresholds that the Grizzlies are reaching that they need to continue to reach to win games? Myself and DeMichael Cole will have much more on that later on this week when it comes to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. So the Game 2 victory was absolutely outstanding for the Memphis Grizzlies. It was a great bounce-back opportunity for Memphis. And there are plenty of positives. As many predicted coming into this series, Ja Morant truly has had an easier time being himself when it comes to his scoring ability against the Warriors than he has against the Timberwolves. And I don't want to in any way, shape, or form take away from the fact that the Grizzlies' defense has done an outstanding job, especially when it comes to Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. Steph and Klay combined in games 1 and 2 are now 30 of 83 from the field and 13 of 45 from 3. But the big thing is that the Grizzlies are going to have to work very hard to be able to maintain that effectiveness. Again, in game 2, it took Ja Morant scoring 47 points and the Warriors shooting the lowest three-point percentage they've shot in a playoff game in franchise history for the Grizzlies to get a victory. Those certainly are positives for Memphis. But is that formula going to be there to work moving forward? Now, I can't say with confidence it will be. I will also say that Dylan Brooks being ejected from the game and potentially being suspended, I can see where others may say on offense it could be a better turn of events for the Grizzlies, but I certainly do think on the road in San Francisco, Dylan Brooks' defense will be missed, especially if he is suspended for multiple games. Now, I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer. I'm not trying to rain on the parade. It's just that there are certainly areas for the Grizzlies to improve upon if they want to use the momentum from this game to victory to really be able to capture the momentum of the series as we go to Golden State. Because another few areas that we certainly hope the Grizzlies will be able to continue to improve upon is not only scoring in the paint, but also rebounds. The Grizzlies are not a team designed to shoot 45 threes in a game. The Golden State Warriors are. If the Grizzlies are shooting 45 threes in a game, that's likely going to play into the Warriors' hands. The Grizzlies overall shot 31% from three, which, don't get me wrong, again, is fine if that's what Golden State's giving you. The defense of the Grizzlies limited Golden State enough to where even though the Grizzlies struggled from three, they still were able to get the job done because of the overall amount of threes that they made. So yes, Ja Morant scoring 47 points, the Grizzlies making 14 threes. That certainly was needed in last night's game, but the Grizzlies need to get back to doing what they do well, scoring in the paint, out-rebounding their opponents. Perhaps if we get Steven Adams back in spurts, that can certainly help. But the Grizzlies overall do have some areas they can work on, and they're especially going to have to work on keeping the defense of effectiveness up if they're going to be without Dylan Brooks for a game or two. But now let's look at the positives. Though Jordan Poole absolutely has stood out as being the best bench player so far in this series, though I would imagine moving forward without Gary Payton Jr., he will be starting games. Despite Jordan Poole's performance so far, if you look at the big three on paper, what have you, if you consider the big three for the Warriors and the for the Warriors to be Steph, Klay, and Draymond, and for the Grizzlies, it's Ja, Bane, and Jaren Jackson Jr., if you look at the contributions from players outside of those big three, and I can understand the argument that perhaps Poole is now a part of Golden State's big three. My point is that outside of those big three that I mentioned, Jordan Poole absolutely has been the most impactful player beyond the big three of both teams. But the Grizzlies' depth is continuing to make a difference on both ends of the court. De'Anthony Melton game 1, Zaire Williams game 2, Brandon Clark continuing to make a difference when he's on the court. And it's not just the ability for them to score and add offense, add that extra layer of three-point shooting, especially with Desmond Bane and Dylan Brooks not being able to contribute, but it's the ability for the Grizzlies to throw different looks defensively at the Warriors' best shooters, Zaire on Steph, Melton on Poole, different looks that the Grizzlies are able to show the Warriors, and it's making an impact. So the Grizzlies' overall ability to keep the defensive pressure on the Warriors is truly making a difference. And it's getting the desired result. It's limiting Steph from being able to truly take over games. Now, he's done it in short spurts. but he's not been able to truly take over games like we've seen him do against the Grizzlies over the past few years. Jordan Poole took over game one at times. Steph Curry has not taken over either game so far in multiple stretches, and that's a big reason why the Grizzlies are 1-1 in this series. So there are plenty of things to certainly work on. The Grizzlies getting back to their style of basketball. The Grizzlies hopefully being able to keep up the defense to the level that they've been able to keep it up so far. And obviously, Ja Morant continuing to play at his level. Are those things sustainable? Now, I can't say for certain that they will be. A team as good as the Warriors with as much time as they now have between Game 2 and Game 3, I imagine they're going to make some adjustments to be able to be more successful from deep as they head home. But the Grizzlies can also make adjustments as well. And again, as was shown with the Grizzlies having three players who got six Men of the Year votes, the Grizzlies' depth is once again shining through. You possibly can make the case that the Warriors, you know, that Steph Curry and Jordan Poole right now may be playing better than any duo that you put with the Grizzlies when it comes to Ja Morant and another player. I get that. But when it comes to that sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth man in this series, I'd say so far the Grizzlies have the advantage. And it's not just from the individual performances of those players, but it's the different abilities for the Grizzlies to put together different lineups. When you don't have a Dillon, when you have a less than effective Bane, the Grizzlies are still able to find a way to win. So it's going to be interesting to see, can Ja Morant keep up his level of offensive activity, his level of offensive performance moving into game three? There certainly is a good case for that to be believed in. Can the Grizzlies keep up their defensive effectiveness? Will Steph and Klay continue to shoot 36% from the field and 30% from three? I would imagine at some point they're going to make the adjustments to find success. But even if the Grizzlies may not be able to maintain what has won them games or what has made them competitive in this series so far, there's still plenty of room to grow in other areas. Hopefully contributions from Dillon and Desmond at some point in time to support Ja and Jaren, that'll be a huge boost. Perhaps getting Steven Adams back to play 15 or so minutes in a game to help out with the offensive rebounding, to help getting the extra possessions, that'll be a huge boost. Jaren Jackson Jr. finding success moving forward like he did in game one, that'll be a huge boost. And the Grizzlies' overall depth continuing to play well, having a different guy step up to make an impact offensively and defensively, that'll be a huge boost as well. So yes, there certainly are some aspects of the Grizzlies' play so far in this series that you kind of look and say, okay, are we going to be able to sustain these positives to the level that they've been so far to continue to win games? But even if they do not, the great thing about the Grizzlies is that as competitive as they've been in this series so far, in a position where they easily could be 2-0, there's still so much more room to grow. And now with 3 days to make adjustments and how well the Grizzlies have made adjustments so far in this playoffs, you have to feel very confident that those adjustments will be made and they'll be effective. Obviously, the 3 days are welcome. The big things to watch are Desmond Bane's injury status, what fallout comes from the Dillon Brooks flagrant two, and will the Grizzlies be able to find some other areas of offense to support Ja and Jaren going into game three? It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to keep you right here locked in on Locked On Grizzlies when it comes to all the coverage and breakdowns of the two games so far, as well as getting ready to shift the focus to the Bay Area as the Grizzlies travel to San Francisco to take on the Warriors in game three. You can find myself at SatsSAC. You can find the show at Locked On Grizz, obviously anywhere on any podcast platform that you enjoy for free. Until next time, go Grizzlies, a big game two victory to make this series tied 1-1. We'll talk to you again soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.